Book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians, chapter 3. Today we're going to talk about character. We're not going to talk about being a character. We're going to talk about having character. Maybe we could even entitle this our Christmas character, if you will. This is one of those messages that it's not really the Christmas story. We're going to start that next week, but the attitude that we really need to have this season. And the attitudes that right now the world really needs to see in us. Okay? And so today we look in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Again, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow before You today, asking, Lord, for Your guidance into Your Word. Father, open our hearts. Teach us now Your ways. Give us understanding into Your Word, that it may mold us and make us into the servants that we should be. Father, I pray this message be Your message, not my own. I pray it will draw all men to You. And I pray You'd be glorified in this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. As I said, Christmas, this is approaching. Can you believe it's Christmas? Seems to be getting faster and faster each year. And one of the things, you know, that comes to my mind, we do a lot of worrying about getting ready for Christmas. And so we do things like buy presents, prepare meals, and plan family gatherings. But today I want to challenge you to consider you. What are you doing to get ready for this Christmas season? What I'm speaking of is, of course, spiritually ready. What's on the inside? Are you ready for Christmas? Don't answer that. But ask yourself that question on the inside. If you're going to have the character we need at this point in our history, first thing we need for you to be as a child of God is relevant in your relationship with God. We're going to start at the last verse, because the last verse is kind of it explains everything that went on before and everything that's been shared before. It kind of paraphrases it. And verse 17, I want to call your attention to that verse again. So I suggest you keep your Bibles open. We're going to refer back several times through the course of this message. It says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You got it? All right, it's going to take, I can tell you, this is an hour long message. It's going to take me a while to get you there, all right? See, we're given that instruction, but here's our problem. There are a lot of things we do for Jesus. And a lot of things we do for other reasons. And we tend to separate the two. What I'm talking about is, give you an example. Why do you come to church? Why do I come to church? I come to church to honor Jesus. Amen? That's why we're here, to worship and honor the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Why do I pray? I pray to honor Jesus and to bring my request before the throne of God. But even in my request, the idea is that I'm honoring the authority and majesty of our great God. When I study the Word of God, I study it so that I may know the great God that I serve, that I may be drawn closer to Him. It's all those things have a spiritual purpose that's very easy to see. But what about when we go to work? Why do you go to work? Well, if you're like a lot of people, you go to work because you have to. We like to eat. Amen? We like to pay the bills. We like having electricity. And in order to do those things, we have to go to work. Why do you, when you're not working, if you've got hobbies, if you hunt, fish, golf, whatever it is, why do you do those things? Well, most people do those things because they enjoy it. But the problem is, we tend to separate God from those things unless we're specifically doing churchy stuff. Right? I mean, think about it. We have the messed up mentality that we think God's not really interested in those kind of things that I do. You know, I'm not going to bother God with such things as my hunting and my golfing and my work. And that's just petty matters. Jesus doesn't care about stuff like that, really. Where do you get that? I've heard people on the golf course before. They're lining up a putt and they'll say, I know Jesus doesn't really care if I make this putt or not, but Jesus helped me make this putt. I don't know that He doesn't care. I mean, He loves you and me very much. He cares what's going on in our lives. And yes, something so simple as hitting a putt or hunting and killing a deer or what, you know, that may sound very inconsequential to us. But I tend to think anything we care about, God cares about. And I'm guilty of doing those things without considering where Jesus stands in my participation of those things. I'm not saying don't do those things. I'm not saying don't go to work, don't hunt, don't fish, don't go. I'm not saying don't do them. I'm saying include the Lord of Lords and King of Kings as you do them. That no matter where you are, you have a consideration that you are there as a servant of the living God. You see, and what really hit home on this message was when I was preparing this week. There are times, it just got up close and personal, in that on the week, throughout the week, on Friday and Saturdays, usually I take those days off. I try to come do church stuff and on Sunday through Thursday. And then Friday and Saturday, I try to take off unless there's a reason that I need to do something. And I have found myself, and I'm ashamed to tell you this, but there have been times in my ministry, just remind you that we preachers aren't perfect either, right? That I'll leave here on Thursday and not really giving Jesus much thought until I arrive back on Sunday morning. I know that's terrible for a pastor, isn't it? And it's not that I intentionally want to leave Jesus out of anything. It's not that say, okay, Lord, you're not welcome here. It's, I don't think. And that's the point to this message this morning to help us stop and consider, you know, Jesus does desire and expects to be a part of every activity that you and I are involved in. And that's why the Apostle Paul wrote here, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That word name means as a representative of. As a representative of. Meaning whatever you find yourself doing, you're representing Jesus. Can you represent Jesus going fishing? Absolutely. Can you represent Jesus when you golf? Absolutely. Can you represent Jesus when you work? Absolutely. As a matter of fact, when you do represent Jesus in these different areas of your life, you begin to change. And when you're golfing, for example, and you miss a 3-foot putt, you don't throw your putter in the lake. Because you represent Jesus. Listen, you're looking at the guy that's wanted to throw his putter more than once. When you're hunting and you miss that big deer, you don't throw your rifle in the lake. When you're working and people do not respond to you appropriately, you do not blow up and treat them like they've treated you. Why? Because you are representing Jesus. And that's simply what this means. Even, and I bring this out to the point because we're in Christmas season. Oh, we talk about love, joy, peace on earth, and goodwill toward men. Go spend some time at Walmart. See the love and the joy and the peace on earth. But you know what? If there's ever a time that our country needed to see representatives of Jesus Christ, it is here and now. It is very true that people are hurting. People are afraid. Even to the point that they attack one another if you don't conform to whatever guidelines. What we need is for God's people to back up and not really worry about what's going on. Instead, worry about where we are and who we are representing. You see, if we're going to make a difference, we're going to have to be relevant in our relationship, or we're not going to make that difference. Second thing we're going to have to be, we're going to have to be responsible in our election. I love verse 12. Back to the beginning. Therefore, as the elect of God. That statement. That is a beautiful statement. And I'm not going to preach a long message on Calvinism. Okay, we don't have time. But if you're a child of God, if you have placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a part of the elect of God. Okay? And what I want you to get, and God could have chosen whomever He wanted to. You realize God could have chosen the religion of Islam to be His representatives on this earth. He could have. God could have chosen the Hindus to be His people. He could have chosen the Buddhists to represent Him in the world today. But He chose the followers of Jesus Christ. Those who have placed their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord, as their Savior. That's you and I. And that is such an honor that God would say, I trust you enough to represent me in this world today. Think about who you are and what that means. Because as the representative, what the world sees in you and I will determine what they think of the God that we say we serve. For example, when I go into Walmart, if the cashier at Walmart is rude and disrespectful to me in some way, I do not see the cashier at Walmart. Guess who I see? I see the corporation of Walmart. If I go into a restaurant and the waitress or the waiter is rude and offensive and does not welcome me and take care of my needs as I'm in that restaurant, I don't see the waiter. I see the owner of the restaurant. And you can think all you want to, what you do doesn't matter to anyone else, but the fact is that as the elect of God, you have been entrusted to show God to this world. And if you do not show the world who God is, or if they see you from a rude, offensive, harsh, bah, humbug, Christmas, I don't like this junk nature, they're not going to see you. They're going to see the God you say you serve. That's why I say we've got to be responsible. We've got to take seriously our mission. And in verse 12, we're told we're holy. You know what that word holy means? It means we're set apart. If you're saved here, would you say amen? If you know Jesus Christ, would you say amen? You are here for a purpose. That's what that word holy means. You are set apart. Set apart for the purpose of God. Don't ever come to that point in life where you say, I just don't think I've got a reason for being here. You're wrong. God has a reason for you being here. It doesn't matter if you're 9 years old or if you're 90 years old. God has you around for a reason. And that reason is to be His representative. You are set apart for that purpose. Take seriously your position in Jesus Christ. Take seriously the fact that as people look at you, they're going to see the God that you serve. And take to heart how the God that you serve feels about you. Here it is. It says, you are holy and beloved. Another wonderful word. You see, we talk about being servants of God. Slaves of God. But this isn't a slavery that is in our mindset in the culture today. We think of slavery as being a horrible thing. You have no say in anything. You just do the works of the master and you're miserable. No. Let me tell you about if you are a child of God, let me tell you how much your master loves you. He loves you so much he's called you his child. Now listen. I love people, but I love my children. You know, if I call someone my child, that puts it up to the next level. That means that you're my child no matter what. I'm going to love you no matter what. You see, that's the unconditional godly love. So I want you to just take a moment to consider how much God loves you and how much He wants the very best for you. And how much He's entrusted you with. As we go about this Christmas season, I want to challenge you to include Jesus Christ in everything that you do. If you're shopping in Walmart, you do it in the name of Jesus as a representative of Jesus. If you're playing out on the golf course, if you're hunting out in the deer woods, you do it as a representative of Jesus. If you're just spending time with friends, do it as a representative of Jesus. Because the whole idea is, let the world see how wonderful our God is. Do you think Jesus is wonderful? Benny? You know why others do not think Jesus is wonderful? It's because they don't know Him like you and I know Him. Let us show the world how wonderful our Savior is. And let us be reputable in our example. By reputable, I mean our reputation. Ladies like to shop. Most ladies. You look around here and you can see that they're very intentional in what they wear. Now, if you're like me, I'm like, whatever. Give me a pair of blue jeans and I can match a shirt to a pair of blue jeans. But you put some color in there, I can't. Yeah. More than once, Beth has said, uh-uh. No, you no. I'll admit, I don't always know how to dress myself. But you know, we should all know how to dress ourselves in Christ Jesus. And I say that because he said in verse 12 again, put on. You know what that word means? It means literally to put on clothes. It means to dress yourself. And it's really important that you wear the right clothes. If I'm digging a ditch, I wear ditch digging clothes. If I'm preaching, I wear preaching clothes. I've always been taught that, you should look the part. And I know we're kind of living in a culture that's moving away from that. I know that. But it's the way I was raised, and at this point, I'm not changing now. So, I try to look the part. If I'm farming, gardening, I've got an old cap that I wear. I haven't moved to my father's overalls yet, but that day's probably coming. But I think it's important that you look the part. And so, as he gives you these characters that's supposed to be present in the child of God, he's saying, you have to put these things on. It's you. It's you that puts these things on. Now, Beth may lay out my clothes, but she does not dress me. Okay? I have to put my pants on. I have to put my shirt on, put my coat on, tie my tie, and do all that stuff. You see? She'll lay it out there. She says, this stuff goes together. You can wear this. I say, good, but I put it on. Here's what Paul is telling you right now. He's saying, look, here's the clothes that go together with you being a representative of Jesus Christ. What are they? Tender mercies. You got to have tender mercies. You got to care about other people. That's simply what that means. Care about people. You got to be kind. Humility, unselfish, meaning put others before yourself. Gentleness, that word gentle is an interesting word. It doesn't mean you just kind of walk around with your head all down. It means strength that accommodates another's weakness. That means when I have a weakness, you come to my side and say, let me help you with that, Brother Doug. I know you're not good at it anyway, and I can do it. You don't have to tell me that, but you know. But that's the idea. See, that's who we are. That's the clothes that we wear. Gentleness, patience, forbearing one another. I love that phrase, don't you? Because sometimes we just got to put up with one another. But that's who we are. These are the clothes we wear as a representative of Jesus Christ. We've got to be forgiving. That means that you pardon one another and pardon me. Forgive me. Even though I don't deserve to be forgiven. Forgiveness is a hard one. But you know what? You can't dress as a representative of Christ. You can't do it if you're going to leave out forgiveness. It's kind of like me leaving off the shirt. If I wore this suit and tie, but I didn't have a shirt on, you'd look at me and say, oh, that preacher, you're missing something. Obviously, your wife didn't dress you today, you know. There are certain things. They're the appropriate clothing, the appropriate attire for the child of God. That the world will see, hey, they are different. And you know what the one thing that wraps it all together is? That one thing is love. That you can love no matter what. That even when I have a bad day and I smart off to you, you say, well, he can't help it. He's had a bad day. I'm going to love him anyway. I hope I don't do that, but that was just an example. Love. Unconditional. Patient. And then verse 15 and 16 kind of wraps it all together as he said, and let the peace of God, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That word rule means, of course, to umpire. As in, you know, call balls and strikes, you're out of there kind of thing. And what it's referring to is, you know, there are times that we just have peace with God. You just know you're where you are, doing what you're supposed to do, and there's peace. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? And then there's times when I'm not where I'm supposed to be, not doing what I'm supposed to do, not acting like I'm supposed to act. Guess what happens to the peace? It's not there. Have you ever heard anybody say, I probably shouldn't say this, but you need to stop with, I probably shouldn't say this. Because you're messing with the peace. I probably shouldn't do this, but no, you shouldn't do it. And say, we don't know why. But Brother Doug, I don't understand why I don't have peace. You're not letting the Word of God rule. Instead, we go ahead and speak our mind. Instead, we go ahead and lash out at those who've lashed out at us. And I want to tell you something. You say, well, Brother Doug, I just can't take it. You know, I'm just not going to sit back and let them abuse me. Here, let me tell you something. Okay? You can have peace and have a broken heart. You can have peace with God and have a broken heart because people didn't act like they were supposed to act. You can have peace with God and be disappointed. You can have peace with God and have your feelings hurt. But you'll never have peace with God when you do things that are in conflict with His will and with His Word. You'll never have peace. That's why I said, here's how you do it. Let the peace of God rule. When you're faced with a decision, how am I going to respond the way they've treated me? Well, let's go back to the close. You respond in kindness, patience, forbearing, and in love. Well, they didn't show any of that to me. That's not the requirement. Then finally, let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Let the Word dwell. That word dwell means to live. Okay? Now, when we think of living somewhere, dwelling, we think of going home, getting in our recliner, and putting up our feet. And that's not what it means. You know, we call that being at home. When it says, let the Word of God dwell or live in you richly, it's saying, let the Word live through you. Let the world see the Word put in practice. What we need in the world today are examples. Men and women willing to do the right thing at all costs. You see, our children today are seeing heroes, if you will, coming out of Hollywood that's been married 15 times, and the person they're living with now isn't their spouse. They're drunkards, drug addicts, homosexuals, no morality. And these are being held up by the media today as, these are your heroes. That's not a hero. That's an example of someone you do not want to be.
What our kids in the world need today are godly examples. People that they can look at and say, wow, that's who I want to be when I grow up. Wow, what an example of faith in the midst of adversity. Wow, you can tell they have a relationship with Christ. And the one that I love is, that I've used quite often is, you know, you can tell they're talking to the Lord when they pray. See, we need examples. That's who you and I are supposed to be. Not only in this church, but examples to the world. As we let the Word of God live through us. When we use the Scriptures, Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the Word of God is living, alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's alive. It's supposed to be alive. How is it alive? It's only alive if we let it live. That's why I said, let the Word dwell in you richly. My friends, I think it's a great time to put on Jesus Christ. That's our job. That's what we're here for. So I want to challenge you as well as myself. 24/7. All right? This Christmas season, that our goal is, no matter where we are and what we're doing, that others see Jesus by our actions. Letting the Word live through us. My challenge also to those who are here who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Well, listen, you're fighting a battle alone. You don't have to fight. The one peace of mind that I have, I don't know what tomorrow holds. But I want to tell you, I'm not afraid. I'm not. Because I know how it's all going to work out. God's still on His throne. Jesus is still the King of Kings. He's coming back. He has saved my soul. And when my life's over, I'm going to heaven. And if you don't have that assurance, you need that assurance. I want to share with you. Heaven is real. And Jesus has prepared a place, eternal in the heavens, for those who have placed their faith in Him. Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, gave His life, suffered, died, shed His blood to pay your sin debt. And now He says, come unto Me, you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Heaven is real. Hell is also real. And you're going to spend eternity in one of those two places. Heaven's that place described in the Bible is where He dries the tears and there's no more tears. And boy, you know, suffice it to say, it will be greater than our greatest expectation. Hell's where the worm dies not, the fire's not quenched. There's eternal torment in the flames. I'm not telling you that to scare you. I'm telling you that to give you the reality. Choice is yours. You choose heaven or you choose hell. I ask you, Jesus died so that you could have heaven. Today, you've got to call upon Him as your Savior. If you've already done that, you know you've done that. I ask you to join me this Christmas season. I'm going to take this message to heart. And it's going to be my goal and my desire to display Jesus Christ wherever I am at all times. Will you join me in that mission, this Christmas mission? May your motto be this Christmas, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus. Our Father in heaven, let us be a shining example to this community. That no matter where we are, no matter what we find ourselves doing, that we be a positive reflection so the world may see your glory. Father, I pray now that as we come to this invitation, you know the spiritual condition of everyone present. You know those who are lost and those who are saved. You know those who are close. You know those who are distant. And Father, I pray that right now we'll be real with you. That we will do business with you, be honest with you, and repent of our sins. And that we will be that example for not only the young to see, but for all to see. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.